Good morning. Today is Thursday, the 8th of February. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County District Attorney Stacy Eads.
Good morning.
Morning. You brought sunshine, huh?
I did. It is a gorgeous morning. Absolutely.
Are you ready for your question?
So ready.
You are, really?
As ready as I'll ever be.
Oh, well, okay. I can understand that one. Why did Abraham Lincoln's son withdraw from politics? Hey, look, that's better than some of the other options that are on the pages. So
okay.
Yeah, appreciate what you got.
Fair enough. I mean, he probably saw the true stressors of life in politics and the impact it has on family and access to your parent if you're the child of. I don't know.
Oh,
but I don't know the
I didn't know this one. In 1865, Robert Lincoln rushed to his father's deathbed. 16 years later, his James Garfield, Secretary of War. He was with the president when he was shot by an assassin.
Oh.
In 1901, Robert arrived in Buffalo for the American Exposition just in time to see President McKinley murdered. After that, Robert Lincoln vowed never again to be in the presence of an American president.
That is a very reasonable
There's a logic there that makes, some sense.
How horrible.
Yeah, three. Those are probably the only three in... Okay, Winston, you're the trivia guy. After Lincoln and Garfield and McKinley, was the next one
Kennedy? There's only four.
Oh.
Well, that would add up.
Okay, yeah. All right. So that's the maximum you could have experienced anyway. How sad. Yeah. So I could say something really cheeky like what's new, but that would kind of be a little underwhelming. Released yesterday of charges against a sitting judge in Humboldt. That's, I don't know. How does your department react to something like that?
Well, it's not something that we ordinarily are having to address, but I think ultimately it comes down to, for us, is that we will continue to move forward with integrity, professionalism, and make every effort to maintain confidence and trust that the public deserves to have in us and in the justice system as a whole. Naturally, the formal proceedings notice that was filed by the Commission on Judicial Performance and the inquiry will, take its own track. And ultimately, I think this... Not to speak, on the specifics of this particular circumstance, I think it's certainly always a good reminder of the significance that we live our lives in a manner that reflects the integrity and the high degree of ethics and moral values, and how we behave really does potentially have an impact on the work that we do. So I certainly strive to do that as the leader within the office, and will continue to model and make the best decisions I can in every way of my life.
Does it impact the day-to-day when there's something like that going on? I mean, obviously, there's a lot of interaction between your office and the courts, but when something like that happens, does it change the flow? Does it redirect things? Does it stall things? I mean, how does it play out? Not whether or not guilt is there, but just now that it's out in public.
Well, that's something that we will see how that, if any direct impact there is on the, misconduct allegations. So I just really don't know. I mean, this is kind of a matter of first impression for us. And again, I think it just comes back to, we will continue to do the best job that we can as the prosecutors representing the people of California and our community. So
does it happen often? I mean, have you heard of similar, not challenges throughout the state, when you get together with your DA buddies? Is this something that is ever discussed? You know, a what if scenario?
I think that it is a natural area of topic in terms of, you know, experiences that we as prosecutors and representatives of the people and advocates for victims, that we're going to have constant conversations regarding what takes place in court as we litigate our cases. And, you know, so of course, to some degree, there are conversations regarding, you know, our perspectives of decision making and advocacy patterns and that we observe in the courtroom as we're litigating. And so, of course, we're aware of our, you know, justice partners, and but we don't necessarily know what they're doing, you know, outside of that sort of forum on a day to day. So, but I think we all just, you know, within the public, you know, we are hopeful to have good decision makers, people with good judgment and good ethics in the courtroom. You know, whether it's the prosecutor or the defense attorney, the judge. You know, so that's something that is kind of foundational to our system. But when you have humans involved, there's that potential for issues.
I was, as you were sharing that, I was thinking, what if, like, a police officer or a key witness in a case, somebody along those lines, has something that surfaces that's a surprise? Does that change the process, or do you continue to move forward as you would otherwise?
We move forward with sharing the information regarding that we're required to under the law. What's fair?
It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County District Attorney Stacey Eads. It's got to be intriguing, not this situation specifically, but anyone, that there's not a lot of precedent for. I think a lot of folks would perceive that over 200 years, 250 years, that there's been enough court cases and case law developed and protocols in place and canons and all that legal stuff that would kind of give general direction on things. And every once in a while, there's a surprise that kind of pops up. How do you deal with that unanticipated, the surprise that is truly extraordinary?
Well, I think that we go back and we look, okay, what is there some sort of similar situation, and use that potentially as a guide for how to proceed and what's the process, and hopefully there is that, you know, foundation in place that gives some guidance in terms of how to address the particular situation. And so, you know, in terms of just generally with disqualifications of judicial officers, we as a party to proceedings, are able to file at least one 170.6 motion, which is essentially a assertion that for whatever reason, the judicial officer is biased or there's concern regarding that individual judicial officer's ability to be fair and impartial regarding the case that's before them or the perhaps the party. And so each side of the proceedings has the ability to exercise one of those disqualifications. There are other mechanisms whereby a judicial officer can disqualify herself or himself under 170.1 based upon the circumstances. And so if they feel that there's a reason or even an appearance or that there might be an inability to be impartial in hearing that particular proceeding, perhaps based upon personal relationships or perhaps they themselves had witnessed something, they have some preconceived determination, anything that gets close to potentially impacting their ability to be fair and impartial could be and should be a basis for them to disqualify themselves from hearing that particular proceeding. So those types of things are in place to address issues when impartiality by the particular judicial officer is potentially an issue of concern.
What is impartial?
It's kind of one of the things that we'll talk about impartiality with jurors. This is sort of you come into the proceedings with a clean slate, that you don't have your mind made up one way or the other, that you have an open mind, that you're not going to let kind of your preconceived biases or judgments make the determination, that you're going to listen to all of the evidence and take and follow the law, and with that you will make the decision based upon the facts that are presented during the court proceedings. So it's really just to have like a very, very open mind as much as possible, but still using your common sense and good judgment. So that's really something. Impartiality is something that is always being explored further in terms of what sort of life experiences might bias a decision maker in a way that's just really not fair to the, individual situation.
So it's not a lack of experience. It's allowing the experience to flavor prior to finding out the details.
I'm not sure if I followed that. So the so it's just the easiest way I can term it is to have an open mind, that you don't come in having made the decision. So, in the jury trial setting, it's like it's to know that just because charges have been brought against an individual it says nothing as to their guilt. It all it says is that now we're going to have a fair trial and we'll present the evidence. And so the presumption should be that they're innocent. That's the presumption built into our justice system. And so, yeah.
Officers of the court, does everybody have to meet a certain standard? I'm thinking like this stenographer, but I know that's not the right word.
And the court reporter.
Thank you. Yeah. Do they have to show or prove a certain impartiality when they're doing their work? I know it's supposed to be verbatim, but and I don't know if it really is, if they get spot checked. But, there just kind of seems to be different areas where flavoring might come into play.
Sure. I think there's two different levels in terms of background investigations and kind of oversight. So I think naturally, the oversight for, prosecutors, attorneys, and judicial officers is going to be at a much higher level than it would be, because those are the decision makers and the people that are looking out for other people's rights. And so, certainly we hope to have everyone in the room being as honest and ethical individuals.
It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back talking shop this morning with Stacey Eads, Humboldt County's district attorney. As the court is assembled, you know, there are these different functions, players, team members. I'm not sure what the phrase is. How do they determine who is in what courtroom? You know, there's bailiffs, and there's a judge, and then there's the stenographer, pardon me, court reporter, your folks, their folks, the accused, the jury. Why aren't there more people? Why are there so many people?
So that's a great question. So there are a lot of different players involved in, you know, just the basic day-to-day. And so in order to have the courtroom properly staffed, depending on the nature of the proceedings. So the court administrators have some amazing folks working and literally running from sometimes courtroom to courtroom because things also happen that aren't anticipated. And so there's always a requirement to, you know, adapt as quickly as possible and to ensure that, you know, rights are protected and that the court runs in an efficient and effective manner. The sheriff is charged with, you know, the courthouse security. And so the bailiffs within the courtrooms are deputies. And, you know, you were kind of inquiring in the nature of, you know, the what if somebody within the courtroom other than perhaps the judicial officer has some sort of conflict due to the nature of the proceedings being held there. That certainly does happen with bailiffs who may have actually been involved with the course of the investigation. Sometimes the bailiffs, we have to call them as witnesses, you know, and so that's sort of an interesting bit. So they won't be in that particular courtroom while the other witnesses of a particular proceeding are testifying so that they, you know, are able to testify to their personal experience and recollection of what might have occurred, their perspective. Or, you know, if they have a close personal relationship to someone that's involved in the proceedings or, you know, any of those issues that might, you know, rise to the level of being a conflict. So, yes, there are a lot of moving parts and a lot of folks that work really hard to make it happen. It's not perfect, but there are a lot of challenges, a lot of schedules. You know, again, it's all humans involved.
Oh, those nasty humans.
Wonderful humans.
Yeah, every once in a while, you'll hear about an incident inside a courtroom. Somebody will get up and yell, or somebody will make a run, or that kind of stuff. If those result in a case being filed, that's got to be really intriguing, trying to, you know, have a judge testify in front of a judge, or one of your folks testifying in front of one of your folks. I mean, that kind of a scenario, is it handled as a normal fashion, or because it happened in a courtroom, would it be handled uniquely?
Well, it's unique in the sense that folks that ordinarily wouldn't have a conflict in a matter potentially would then if they were witnesses, you know, and that they were necessary witnesses to prove, you know, I don't know, maybe an escape charge or something along those lines for an incarcerated person attempting to flee, you know, something along those lines. So there certainly might be that shuffling. If there's an individual that, you know, so many folks have a conflict, then sometimes it's been necessary to reach out to the Attorney General's office, for example. So maybe it would become something that they would, we would ask them if they take jurisdiction and control and prosecute the case. We've had to bring in visiting judges from out of county where everyone on our bench might have a conflict, say if it's an employee that works for the courts that everyone already had interactions with, that's, you know, alleged, you know, perhaps they could be the victim or they could have been the alleged offender. So there have been those circumstances where there are a number of conflicts that require some pretty creative scheduling and to ensure that, again, that fair and impartial hearing can be provided to all involved.
I wonder if the proceedings would be time-bound. Just with everybody coming around, you know, just to have them, you know, we've had the different law enforcement guys in, and they talk about how much of their staff time sometimes is spent sitting, waiting. To have all of those folks tied up also would be, I would think, a challenge.
Well, if they're conflicting out, then they're not really involved in it anymore. It's just more like to make it happen, to bring other folks in. Well, you know, it's difficult to predict exactly when a hearing will get off the ground because, again, there are all these different moving parts. And so we have to and should be fulfilling, you know, statutory timelines and rights to speedy trial. So that's part of it. And so it's, you know, the decision whether to waive those particular rights really ultimately comes up to the defendant. It's not a perfect system. And so there can be some waiting involved, but we do what we can to make it as good as possible with those parts of the puzzle that we have some control over.
KINS, you mean you don't lose puzzle pieces like I do? I have a lot of puzzles that are 295 or 3,995 pieces. Yeah, you find that out at the end too. All right, we'll segue into a commercial. It's 8:42.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:46. We're back. back talking shop with Stacey Eads. Bok. Chicken. Now, we weren't even talking about chickens, were we? During the break. Just ducks. Oh, well.
The flying duck?
Look, I got to bring the level of this thing down. Otherwise, expectations will be too high for tomorrow's show. What's the big containers outside the courthouse? Is there a major remodeling going on?
There's been some major remodeling going on, yes. So a lot of upgrades and improvements, many of which are in order to be in compliance with ADA. Yeah.
Shock and awe. Okay.
Yeah. And so, yes, there's been... quite a bit of remodeling. We're excited because we now have our bathrooms back. So on the fourth floor.
Little so blessings.
That, yes. So yeah, no, they're
did
they're,
you get the carpet done?
Not yet.
Huh?
But that okay. is in the hopper. There's been progress getting closer to that. But
there was some bragging. I think the supervisors were doing in December, maybe. There was some discussion about some of the different projects, and that was one that was specifically referenced.
Yeah. No. It's it will. I have. Faith. It will happen. It's, you know, like many things in life, it takes a little more time than anticipated. So we were, you know, initially thinking that the project would be done quite some time ago, but there's been good progress. And so we're really looking forward to it because we need it. There are definite hazards that are related to our floor. So it's not only does it look like
look rough, it
really
could be rough.
Yeah. Terrible. It's we don't want anybody to get hurt.
Yeah, that would you got enough challenge in the department as it is. You don't need people
tripping down the hallway.
No.
No.
Yeah, or even more fun, huh? Files flying.
Right. You don't need that either. Yeah.
So you know what the story is with the I guess it's the parking where the sheriff will be parking on 4th, or the sheriff or deputies will be parking where the security thing is on 4th. You know, they still got the cyclone fence up there and about a 2-foot strip of pavement that hasn't happened yet, so they can't just move the fence. Is there something that's still needing to be done there, or is it just they're going to do everything in one shot?
I don't know exactly. I have many months ago, I did get to see some plans and in terms of the upgrades, and it's definitely a multi-phase, multi-part project. But I do know that, you know, there are, you know, folks working, you know, through the night. So, you know, 5 o'clock when some of our staff is making their way home, we have a lot of folks that are arriving to do construction work with, you know, within the building. So, and so I think there are the dumpster bins, and I don't know if those are there for internal or external work, but I hear hammering and a lot of work going on throughout. And somebody asked me yesterday, like, how can you, you know, work through all of this? And I realized, I've become...
Like there's a choice?
I've tuned it out, you know? Don't even notice it's happening any longer.
I've had people use that phrase on me, too.
Hard to believe.
Yeah, right. Oh, jeez.
But yeah, there's some good work that's being done. And from what we've seen, it's nice upgrades.
Budget discussion seems to be starting to surface now. Are you directly influenced, or is the department directly influenced by what the state does, or is everything run through the supervisors and then they pass along the pain?
Well, I think that, you know, what the state does certainly is has a direct impact on what the county can do. And so those, you know, monies that are accessible via the general fund, and we also have the opportunity to through the state to apply for grants. And this last year, we were able to be the recipients to really significant grants that will help us to do important work to address retail theft issues within the community, as well as violence against women. And so we're really pleased to have those opportunities to keep moving forward and do good work for the community.
Yeah, the shoplifting, I guess, is the normal phrase. I don't know anything that there seem to be very few things that get people more mad than that. You know, seeing people and the brazen attitude that some of these folks have. Is there any movement at all about lowering the price or the value point where it becomes worthwhile to prosecute these folks? Or is it an attitude from the shopkeepers that needs to change? The prevalence of this just seems to be stunning.
Well, and that's, you know, really part of why we sought the organized retail theft grant. Is one aspect of that is so that we can have an investigator specifically assigned to those types of cases to delve into kind of the behind the scenes and how we can help support the local businesses in addressing the theft issue, you know, identifying those individuals that are perhaps a little more sophisticated and organized or part of something that's a little more sophisticated and organized versus, you know, the first-time low-level offender who made an unfortunate mistake and might be an appropriate candidate for you know, a level of diversion, you know, from the criminal justice system. So there's like kind of those extreme levels. But we really do want to take a good look at what's happening so that we can help address the issue and, again, support our local businesses.
Recognize the trends before they become tidal waves? Or are
we
already at the tidal wave stage?
The tidal waves. So, yeah. so that's part of it. So we have to, you know, take a close look at exactly where we can help and offer those resources.
Well, enjoy your day.
Thanks. You too. Bye-bye.
All right. See everybody tomorrow.